Come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Welcome back, ladies and germs, to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast. Every Saturday, we're taking over your internet radio podcast superstation right here. I'm your host. I think it's called like iTunes. It's a symposium. No, that doesn't sound right. It's like a superstore or something. Superstation, superstore, a place where you get podcasts. Okay. I'm your host, Colin. I'm surrounded by a bunch of internet radio superstars.
This is Brent.
Jenny.
Travis.
And as always, if you have anything you want to say to us, you can get a hold of us on Facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show or email us SaturdayNightFreakShow@yahoo.com. Hey, we're on Twitter too, @SatFreakShow.
We tweet.
Get a hold of us there. And I suppose we should also make a plea that if you're listening to us on iTunes, go in there and give us a star rating. It helps people find us all over the internets. This week, Brent chose the movie. Brent, what did we watch this week? Was it in keeping with your 2015 year of time travel?
Well, you tell me. We watched Hot Tub Time Machine.
Dun, dun, dun. From the year?
The year 2010.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
All right, so for the people just joining us on this very episode, what is the year of time travel?
In the movie?
No, your,
in general.
Your year
of time. Oh, the movie verse.
What's the well, it's 2015 now, and in Back to the Future Part 2, that's the year that Doc and Marty and Jennifer travel to. So I figured it was appropriate to spend this year during the podcast watching time travel movies. So that's what we're doing.
Well, speaking of appropriate, I would like to know, how did we get to Hot Tub Time Machine before Terminator?
Oh, that's not a bad question, Brent.
How did we skip Terminator and we're right into Hot Tub Time Machine?
We've done Time Cop.
Time Cop.
It's not an order of importance. That's probably the easiest explanation for it. But it's also, Hot Tub Time Machine is fun. It's very fun. And I don't know how much each one of us here has seen it. I've seen it a lot.
This is the second time I've seen it.
Second time. Wow.
And never again.
Movie, at least, well, it must be a hit. Everybody's seen it before.
Well, it was a fun con. This is one of those movies where, I mean, I think the title is the only reason the movie got made. I mean, it's a funny title. You see, like, no movie will live up to the title, Hot Tub Time Machine, right? And that's how they
what
know they
was.
Yeah, no actual movie. Well, this movie to me didn't live up to the title, Hot Tub Time Machine.
How can you not live up to the name, Hot Tub Time Machine?
This movie.
Well, this movie. All right, Travis, what do you expect from a movie titled Hot Tub Time Machine?
Well, that's exactly the point. It's a sellable title. It's not a great movie. I mean, this movie to me is not a real script.
It's not.
They threw in a bunch of, like, reference. I mean, if anything, this should be called The Crazy Eight. Remember those crazy 80s? Yeah. That should have been the name of this movie. Because, I mean, Time Machine isn't really having anything to do with the plot of the movie. It's just how they happen to Scott Bakula their way into their old bodies. If you watch Quantum Leap, that's explaining how this time travel works, where they time travel, but their souls basically land in their younger selves.
Mm-hmm. In 1986.
Their mind in their, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But there's nothing they really need to do. There's no reason they do it for. If anything, it's kind of a weird fucking stupid accident.
It's It's basically just a device to make jokes the whole movie.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
for sure.
This movie could take place anywhere.
Yeah.
Yes. But
it's the title sells itself. It's about a hot tub time machine.
Yeah. And
are we doing wrap-ups already?
Yeah, right. Well, I think the 80s, I mean, the reason they placed in the 80s is because, okay, if Back to the Future 1 was looking nostalgically at the 50s,
right,
then, of course, nowadays you'd have to look at the 80s or, you know, wherever the hell. They even talked about making a Back to the Future remake where it would be the 80s.
I mean, even in, like, in the,
right,
in the
80s. Brent will come and hunt that man down if he says,
well, oh, he'll see it.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
Got his money.
Yeah. No, I wasn't even listening to what you said because I don't even want to think about it. It's.
But what if it was Marty's kid, right? That would make sense if Marty's kid had to go back to the 80s and, like.
Just don't even. Like, Travis, people are listening. Don't
stop my dad from trying to go back in time. get his mom to love his.
To stop.
That is what Marty Jr.
That's right. People are listening who might actually take this idea and run with it.
I don't edit this podcast, but I'm going to cut that part out. No, I'm not. But okay, well, what about like, so movies like Ski School, right? I mean, that's not about ski school. Or movies like Porky's. Well, maybe Porky's is, but in the 80s, there are movies where the title doesn't really have a lot to do
with... Hot Dog the Movie.
Yeah, right.
Hot Dog the Movie.
Followed by Hamburger,
I mean, I can see why they did it, because, I mean, they basically wanted to set up, like, well, this is supposed to happen to you, this is supposed to happen to you, this is supposed to happen to you. Oops, we accidentally spill our energy drink on the hot tub console, and that, like, somehow turns it into a time machine.
Yeah.
Weird way, this feels like, it almost feels like Time Cop, how I feel like they had a time traveling device that they kind of weren't sure of when they wrote like the rest of the movie surrounding it. So I feel like they changed it a little bit.
Well, when they explain it, they reference other movies to explain their time travel. It's like Terminator and the Butterfly Effect.
They do the second one too. They reference Looper in the second one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, funny.
But yeah. Never once Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Never once.
I'm sure. They're too close to it.
It'd be like plagiarism.
Because, of course, this has John Cusack. Damn it. The guy from who's in everything, right? The Office. And
Craig Robinson.
Rob,
yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Craig Robinson.
And Rob Cordray is in it.
Yeah.
And
who's Clark the Duke.
Clark Duke. Is he the kid?
Yeah. He's the kid.
So he's the odd man out, right? He's the guy going back to 86 that wasn't born. So he's the odd man out that he's not supposed to be in that reality. So he does the phase. I'm going to phase out because I don't belong to this reality sort of deal.
Right.
Like Marty.
Yeah.
Like Marty McFly.
He's the Marty McFly.
Just like Marty McFly.
He gets to meet his parents and make sure that they hook up.
Craig Robinson?
Yeah. Yep.
So Craig Robinson is supposed to have a concert the same way Marty McFly like... has his concert.
Yes.
Or there's not a, which I didn't think they were going to get to, really, because he talks about how I got to have sex with this this groupie, but I would imagine sex with a groupie would take place after a show, right? Not before a concert.
Well, maybe she knew who he was, so. But
he's supposed to also suck. His memory of that original time is him playing really badly and everybody laughing at him. So then I'm kind
of
like,
maybe that was the first time that he played in front of that big of a crowd.
Maybe, but I don't. I just don't get where this hot groupie, if he's supposed to suck, where's the hot groupie chick that wants to fuck him?
Well, yeah, but
maybe she's not a groupie. Maybe she's just a girl in a bar.
Well, they call her groupies, didn't they? Like, I've got to fuck the groupie.
Yeah, they do call her a groupie, but look at that flat top.
Yeah, that was a good joke. You look like Kid and Play. That's actually two people.
Yeah. How can you resist that flat top?
Yeah, that's a good white joke at us.
So it's a movie, it's fantasy wish fulfillment, right? I mean, that I guess is what a lot of time travel, Back to the Future included, kind of does for you. You can say, like, if I could go back and fix this, you know, moment in my own past, you know, it'll change.
But they're not trying to fix anything. They say you have to have everything the same. Wait,
but who says that?
Well, they're doing that because, the young kid, what's his name?
Clark Duke.
He wants to make sure he's born.
Yeah. That's why they're doing everything the same, is because he doesn't want to.
Yeah, he's afraid of
disappear.
And then somehow.
And then
John Cusack decides to have his own serendipity movie. And like. Yeah, yeah.
He's the key to the hot tub time machine, is because he's like this.
A plot device.
He's the
being that just shows up.
A lazy plot device.
Yeah. Well,
okay. I'm saying all this as if you could actually critique this movie as a movie. But it's not a film, in any kind of way. It's a comedy. Fun comedy.
Well, yeah. It's just
comedies are basically like, do you like the people? Yes or no? You put them together and they get to riff off of each other in these different amusing scenarios.
It's really about a group of friends that used to be close and go to this ski lodge, and then somehow they split apart and they just weren't close friends, even though they still recognize themselves as being a group.
It's kind of like Wild Hogs, which they reference in
this movie. Kind of like, yeah.
It gets a lot of mileage out of referencing other movies.
Oh my god, especially they go back to 86 and they keep referencing modern day names like Shia LaBeouf for no reason. They'll say Shia LaBeouf. They'll say
that's because they're from the future.
But, yeah, but still, it's just kind of, like, weird that it's like, well, that's the joke, right? You're just saying, I've always said that, like, saying a celebrity's name to me became popular in Dodgeball. When Chuck Norris was one of the judges in Dodgeball, and Vince Vaughn's like, thank you, Chuck Norris. It's like, that was a joke. Saying Chuck Norris's name, a dude from the 80s, in this modern-day movie, that's a joke in itself. So now just referencing someone, like, when they did the, you could be my hero, and that guy goes, like, Enrique Iglesias. Yeah. It's like, that's a joke to them. Just saying a name. Yeah. Referencing a name. And it's like, okay, that.
No, yeah, that's a, it's totally a, like, comedy. Like,
does that work on you guys?
No.
just referencing a name.
Ask them.
I think that it's dangerous for a film to do that because, like, it's going to become dated at some point. But at the same time, it, like, it's funny to me. When if they didn't have the rights to the song, it would be different. But, you know, when they say Enrique Iglesias, and then he gets up and they start playing I Can Be Your Hero. Like, that's, I don't know, I like it. I think the whole Chuck Norris thing, though, Travis, is more of Chuck Norris went, like, what, like 10 years ago, he became, like, this cultural pop icon?
Yeah.
Like, a new status?
Yeah.
Like, that most 80s
the ironic, actors the ironic Chuck Norris or whatever. Yeah. It was like, Chuck Norris is so ridiculous, so we're going
to... Well, they do the same thing with, like, David Hasselhoff. I mean, they just do that in movies nowadays, where they'll pick one fucking, like, you know, supposedly lame guy from the 80s or 70s.
Do something with Steve Guttenberg, damn it.
They do.
Bring back Steve Guttenberg.
Maybe you should do it.
Yeah. It makes sense. Steven Seagal.
Yes. Thank you.
Steven Seagal.
He's like, he's like a joke of his former self.
Oh,
but
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big time.
But I guess, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, well, I want to point this out real quick before we get too far into this. Crispin Glover is in this movie.
Which is crazy.
Maybe possibly the best part of the whole film.
Probably just because you have the setup that he's missing an arm, and when you go back in time, you're supposed to be waiting for the instance of him losing his arm. I mean, that's set right. I mean, as soon as the old character, or as soon as our characters see him in the past with two arms, they're waiting for his arm to get lopped off. Mm-hmm. Like everything that ever happened in the world happened on that weekend night or whatever the fuck. Yeah. That's why I don't get this movie. I don't get this movie because, number one, they have no control over their time travel device. All they do is spill an energy drink on the device, and it sends them magically back to the most important night of their fucking teenager youth. It makes no sense.
They're not aiming to make a motion picture.
I get it, but it's still. But if you're gonna make, I get it. I get it. I get it. But how can you say something? That'd be like right now if I spilled my drink on his fucking laptop, and we all magically time travel.
But that's that. I have the same point.
But you call that a time machine when it's an accident.
But that's why
a time machine is
comedies. It always seems like you can't actually like have like a discussion about them as like movies because they still make money, but they use
templates. They use comedy templates the same way. Hey, right now, let's make a comedy about the most like unlikely kids to be in a sports team. They're all a bunch of losers, but somehow we're gonna like get our shit together. I mean,
and what you put together after that, you can string together any scenes that you want. It doesn't matter if they like have any kind of logic or reason for being there. It's just scenes that exist by themselves. At the end of this movie, like the universe, like basically collapses in on itself. I mean, like it can't even support its own weight. There, we've got characters coming back. I'm looking at it like
you're looking at like a movie
as a movie, which you just can't
do. But hold on,
because Brent said earlier, he's like, "Well, this movie's going to kind of get dated," but it's like nobody will like these movies are made to be disposable. You watch them, you have a good time on a Friday night, and then you're out.
I think everyone involved knows that.
Yeah.
That's probably true.
So,
but they're still making money off it. So they're like,
"Well, yeah, because you can
it's a money maker. It's for sure."
But I don't think they care.
That's for sure if they don't care, but you know, us as movie viewers, they just gotta like pick out like this. I mean, to me, why it doesn't work is when Chevy Chase shows up, and there's a few scenes like this. Chevy Chase will show up, he'll make a lot of like really like, well, I do kind of like his odd remarks. He doesn't tell you that I'm the time machine repairman. He tells you I'm the hot tub repairman, you need a new thing, something, whatever. He gives you these little clues that yes, I'm some sort of a time lord that helped you guys get to your past to there's no reason they even need to change anything in the past. That's why I don't get it. But
I mean, his character isn't a character. It's a plot device.
Well, but he the thing is
they need some.
But as soon as he
fix the thing to get back.
But as soon as he leaves, the next scene is them sitting around and they're like, all right, guys, the repairman said. I mean, it's almost as if they shot the scene of them sitting around talking about what the repairman said before they shot the repairman scene. So you're seeing a scene, and then you're seeing them reiterating what the scene prior was about and what it told them. Because I think in today's comedy especially, you are writing these, like, these key moments in the plot before you're writing a lot of the jokes.
Yeah.
So... It's just unnatural them talking about the scene that happened to them prior just to get it across. That's when you see, oh, here's the comedy, like how you direct a comedy, you know, first and beforehand. Like, the writing almost isn't important.
Well, because they probably allow for a lot of, like, improv, too. It's like, you improv, you riff it for a while, and then it's like, that's the funniest joke. We'll figure it out in the editing room, and then, like, yeah, I gotta go back and, like, well... We shot this on Monday, and we're thinking that it's probably not. We got to come up with a scene to explain.
Remember when the Paraman said,
"Yeah." Do you guys? I mean, do you get? I mean, I'm sure you get it, but like watching this movie, especially this time, like every single one of these characters that you meet in the beginning, they're all broken in some way. I mean, they do need to go back and repair what's happened.
But I don't see what they repair though, because when they go back, they're like, "We need to."
But they don't. I mean, they
like we need to follow our same footsteps to make sure nothing wrong happens. Then okay, John Cusack.
Well, they do that because of
I get the that, kid. But somehow, John Cusack, instead of he's supposed to break up with this extremely hot chick. Damn, I wish I could remember what movie she's from.
So he doesn't want to. So he's like, he just
his woman just left him. So yeah, when he goes back and sees his hot young girlfriend in 86, he doesn't want to.
That was funny.
That catches me in my comedy. Like, whatever. These guys whispering a weird nickname they call this, like, girl.
What were we going to say?
Well, I think that they all start out on that path because they don't want to screw up anything. And they try and do everything the same. But what happens is every single one of them has their scene where they're like, fuck it. I'm doing, you know, the different thing. And it's the different choices that they make. I mean, finally, they bring in the Reality Bites character.
Oh yeah, the serendipity John Cusack girlfriend who's so like wildly. The first thing she does is order this guy a drink. I'm so new age and cool girl
that like I'm
wild and free. Oh, she's great. That actress is fucking to die for. She was in Waiting.
Cloverfield.
She was in Waiting.
She was in Waiting. She was the girl that had all the little paper things in her bush. Remember that?
No, she wasn't. No, she wasn't.
Wasn't that her? I swear to God, that was her.
No. I'll bet you $100.
We're going to have to look.
Whoa. There's what?
In Waiting. Is she in Waiting?
Hold on.
We're checking out. We're Captain Googling audience.
Her name is Lizzie Kaplan.
Is she in the Waiting?
No, she is not.
Wait, who said she
is? I think she's in Waiting.
Travis thinks.
I think she is in Waiting.
She is not.
She's one of the waitresses in Waiting.
Oh, she was in the interview. That's right. Okay, so is there, what year was Waiting? And
I don't know.
How much is on this bet?
$100. Waiting was in like 2006.
We should be talking about Hot Tub Time Machine, but we're doing a bet.
I know, but now there's a fucking...
I'm not betting. I'm just saying I'm pretty fucking positive that she was... If I'm wrong, it's not like a big deal to get a movie question wrong. We're not like... We can be geeky, but we don't have to be that fucking geeky where it's like, you're a horrible person because you don't know the movie trivia.
I'm not saying you're a horrible person.
What is it?
I'm just going to say you're wrong.
Is there something wrong?
Is she in Waiting?
No.
She was not Waiting?
No.
There we go. So who is the actress in Waiting? We got to know who that actress was. She looks like her.
She's a very... Jewish woman.
Very Jewish. You know what that means, folks. She likes money. I guess we're going somewhere else.
Anna Faris was in Waiting.
No, but
that's not the one you're talking about?
I guess that's not the one we're talking about. She look like her?
Not even.
I thought it was her.
Well, it's. I'm going to get us back on track.
All right.
Yeah, no shit.
It's the idea.
We don't do that.
It's the idea that like her character is the one that says that there's no, you know, basically that you make your own fate. You're your own person. You can, you know,
but your fate's already decided, though, right? That's
not
why
really.
I don't see how can movie. They go back and make their own.
Well, because they make different choices. That Chevy Chase tells them that they have to, like, do everything exactly the way they did in order to basically make the future happen the way that it did. So yes. that Clark Duke can be born.
So, yeah.
But then they go completely off that. They try to adhere rigidly to that for a while, and then they just go, fuck it, and they just start actually living their lives. And then they come back to a reality, a future that, you know, is now changed. And they are all super successful and... That actually, you know, I was thinking about that.
That's Back to the Future.
Well, it's the Back to the Future ending, but it sucks. Because, see, like, John Cusack comes home to, like, this big mansion and goes in and finds Lizzie Kaplan there. And it's like, all right, so there's a 20 whole future years that he had to have lost living with her for 20 years.
Yeah, that's
now you're an old man.
So will those memories fill in? And no. Even though this movie doesn't use time travel like physics, but no, I mean, in our own... Writing a time travel story, would those memories refill it? Because, like, Craig Robinson Weber, he's going to be a big musical guy, right? Because he actually had a good concert instead of a bad concert. So now, I haven't seen Hot Tub Time Machine 2, but just from the trailers, you can see he becomes like a big pop star or some sort of Puffy Combs kind of guy or some shit.
Yeah.
So how can stuff you?
That he would have learned along the way about how to be a media mogul that now he doesn't have that information because he's like.
And I don't see how would he? How would he still marry his wife?
Right.
Going the way of being a big superstar. It's like I don't think
this is what I'm saying. The universe collapses on this.
Yeah, this movie
because they don't care. It's better for the effect.
It's called Hot Tub Time Machine.
It's comedy where shit doesn't matter. It just as long as you have a.
But they could have done that with anything without even fucking with time. They could have still had. Funny joke. Like, you still puke on a squirrel in any movie without a time traveling device being involved.
A lot of comedies are just ridiculous. Like,
yes.
They are. They old are. School. Yes, this is the return. Dude, say. Old school was the beginning of the new sort of like, well, it's a quirky like, fucking obscene comedy.
It's just like a shot in the dark, but old school became like a
one step classic. Away yeah, from
like,
you.
It's just like a shot in the dark and no, old don't school became saying it. A classic. And it's just... I mean,
but I don't think old school did become a classic. I think all it did was recreate
the. I don't think they meant for that to happen.
It recreated the. We can have a rated R version and an unrated version for. That was the whole point of these comedies. Is you can have it. These are supposed to be the next Porky's. These are supposed to be the next like fucking Blues Brothers, right? These are supposed to be so like adult.
Well, it's the same thing with like Pineapple Express. Like, exactly. Did they expect that to be as popular as it is? No. They were just fucking around. They just wanted to make money and have fun doing it. And it became a classic. That's what these movies are.
Yeah, I don't think they're classics, though. They are throwaway comedies. I don't think they're. I don't think these hold up to classics. No one's talking about Pineapple Express in the way of Porky's. I mean, even though they're talking about a sequel to Pineapple Express, we're not talking about what four Porky's movies.
People would have said the same thing about like Blazing Saddles, probably at the time that it came out. Now that's regarded as a classic, but it was probably a disposable.
But Mel Brooks. I don't think Mel, except for like. Like starting with like Dracula Dead and Fucking Loving It. I don't call Mel Brooks like disposable comedies. He that guy was like
Robin
doing
Hood, Men in Tights.
Okay, well that was after Dracula, wasn't
they
it?
Actually
or
expect
before?
That to I guess before. Be popular, but it was
but he was funny. Making. But back in this time, I mean, that's the point though. It's like Mel Brooks back in like Blazing Saddles. I mean, that was important because they were talking about these racial things that were really important to the time, right? Where Hot Tub Time Machine, it's not giving us anything. All they're doing is giving us some
they're
like
not
raunchy. Unrated.
That's what they're trying to give you.
Yeah, but any comedy needs some basis. I mean, things. For a comedy to become a classic and not just be forgettable, you got to have something. You know, you got to have... You can't just have, like, one forgettable joke after another forgettable joke after another forgettable joke.
All right, so then you graded on how funny was it? How many jokes... Like per
oh, wait. I don't think we can't just say okay. That's okay. I think that it's more than I bet you. If you go
it
to
has unrated on the cover, they don't care.
I bet that you go to any college dorm and they have this in their arsenal.
But because it's a funny title to say, it's almost like an ironic movie to own. Yeah, it's almost like it's so funny just because it's called Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yeah,
the joke's in the title.
That's the point.
It's not the movie itself. A comedy movie, the joke should be in the movie. They should be written into the movie, not just like it's a comedy. Well, why is it funny? Because it's hilarious. I mean, that's as, just not good enough sometimes.
No, it is. As Tom would say, it's not a highbrow. It's a lowbrow comedy. Very low. But, I mean, it's like Step Brothers. I have that, too. And that's, you know, something that I'll put in any time. And all that is...
I feel like any movie Will Ferrell does is like, is it going to be funny? We don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. It's, you know, well,
he just
it's,
does
it's,
what he does.
And that's what I'm saying. All these comedies are hit and miss because they're not starring comedians. They're actors that can kind of be loose, or if, like, people like Paul Rudd. I mean, Paul Rudd's not in this, but like
all
just
these
those
guys,
type of actors.
The Paul Rudd standing is John comedians. Cusack.
They're
in
not.
This movie.
Yeah,
they're not comedians.
Rob Corddry, Craig Robinson.
But those are
stand-up
funny
comedians?
Actors. They're not comedians.
Are you talking about stand-up
they're
comedians, or are you talking
actors.
About comedians?
Well, let's just talk about comedians. Because I mean, okay, all these.
They're all comedians. Even John Cusack to an extent.
No, those are comedic actors. They're not comedians. George Clooney is a comedic actor. He's not
saying,
a comedian.
Are you saying a comedian is someone who does stand-up like for
an audience? A comedian is a stand-up person. A comedic actor is somebody that just does funny parts in movies, like Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd doesn't go on stage and have his own material. Most of the times... Okay. Like,
so
I mean,
you're
that's
talking
what I
about
think.
A stand-up.
Well, because I think these comedies are based on... the type of movies that stand-up comedians would make, because stand-up, like, especially, let's say, I mean, all these comedies are based on the whole Second City movies, right? The whole SNL movies of Harold Ramis and Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, all these movies are still going back to that. The same way we're talking about every Possession movie is an Exorcist movie. All these comedies are Blues Brothers, Stripes,
Animal House.
I guarantee Rob Corddry and Craig Robinson are stand-up comedians.
I think so, too.
Maybe.
I absolutely agree.
But are they like? But are they Dennis Leary stand-up, where you're stand-up for that few months of your career, then you're an actor for the rest of your life?
No.
But I think that...
But you don't see new stand-up from these guys. They're just comedic actors that appear in things like Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Things that allow for them to be more...
But I would call that a comedian. I wouldn't call that...
Improv.
Improv, yeah.
They're actors, but they're comedians, I think, first.
Maybe. I would disagree. But it's not that important to this conversation. I just think they're actors first, comedians second, because they're only in movies. They're not doing stand-up. They don't have their own material that go out on the road.
I think that's how they become popular, is from their stand-up.
That could be true. That could very well be true. But in a certain time in their career, they, you know, like I said, Dennis, that's why I always bring up Dennis Leary. Dennis, you can find stand-up comedy of Dennis Leary from the early 90s. Other than that, the guy's been an actor ever since.
Dennis Leary doing stand-up comedy.
But he was...
Dennis Leary was a stand-up comic before anything.
It just put him into funny roles and movies.
In Demolition
then
Man, he basically does his stand-up role.
Look at Michael Keaton.
In his 1 minute on
Michael Keaton was a stand-up guy
for
a few years in the 80s. Then he became an actor.
So was, wasn't Tom Hanks, I think?
Tom Hanks, well, maybe. I don't know if that was just punch. Are we just
thinking
of punchline? But still, I mean, I'm just trying to say, not that it's bad. I like Craig Robinson. I definitely like Rob Corddry.
But that's like, I mean, I think all of these things like succeed. Well, I guess maybe all movies in general, right? But I mean, comedies, it's more dependent on the personalities of the people involved. Like, you know, if you like them, you'll like seeing them like the movie, right? I mean, it's like going to see a stand-up comedy show. I like seeing Eddie Murphy. Okay, that's a bad example because that's ancient. I like seeing Louis C.K., so I'll go to see Louis C.K. when he comes, you know, wherever he's in town or, you know, wherever he's playing at. He's in a movie, I'll go see him, that kind of thing, right?
Right.
I also want to see that new...
Where it's, you're not going because of the, so much like what the movie's actually about. That's a Hot Tub Time Machine. That's like, you know, who the fuck cares?
Well, that's funny.
That's just a device to get these guys together and then go explore the 80s, which is the other thing that this movie's got, right? So it's got stunt casting because it brings in John Cusack to be, who's the star
guy,
of like,
say
all
anything,
those, yeah.
fucking.
Right? So let's bring him into a situation.
They even
to
recreated
go
that
16
candles sitting on the counter.
I love love this.
And it gets, you said it's the guy from the Karate Kid, the
Johnny Zepka. Johnny from Karate Kid. There's even a kid with
Crispin Glover, of course.
Later in the movie, even though Johnny didn't say it, but when they're in the fight, you hear a guy go, "Put him in a body bag." Yeah, that's from the Karate Kid.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Put
that.
Him in a body bag.
Come on, Johnny.
But I think casting in this was a little out. All the girls in this movie had like. Had like the year 2000 tits, right? They didn't have 80s tits. They were all very kind of modern looking, like,
what like are
breast
80s tits?
Not they're natural. They're not like breast enhancements. Where a lot of the girl, a lot of the girls in this, they looked modern day.
Even though all the fashions were supposed to be retro to our eyes now, those are not what people wore in the 1980s.
It was a
that's like 80s like wet dream of itself. Kind of, I mean, like it wasn't like
if everybody had the money for everything, that's what it would look like.
Which is the point, right?
I don't know if it is the point.
It is.
Did you ever see Take Me Home Tonight? Wait, was that
really like 80s? That's what I keep thinking about, like, that movie. Because, I mean, that's another movie where they just go back to the 80s and it's just for fun. What do you
keep? They're
Take Me Home Tonight.
They're taking
Topher Grace.
Yeah, you guys got to explain. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
It's another like 80s kind of. It takes place the party. Like 1984 or
is
something
it
like
Anna
that.
Anna Faris in that one too?
Quite possibly.
She very well could be. It's one of them. Yeah, I think it went.
But that's why, like, what's her name? In a weird way, I don't think this movie needed all the time machine shit. It just didn't need it. They could have just made a comedy where they're in the 80s and the blah blah blah.
But
the
why
only
not?
Thing the time
but
machine
then it
did,
wouldn't be on the fucking year of.
But the only thing the time machine
travel,
did was made Saturday us wait for show. Things that have to happen. That's all it did was set
that's
up
that
like.
I think you're reading too much.
It's not reading too much. I mean, goddammit, the movie's
it's
about
a movie.
Time machine. Like I said, we got to this before Terminator, so I'm fucking thinking about it. If we're gonna talk about time machines every time it's a press pick, I'm talking about it.
All right, so
we
let's
have to talk
about
something.
The time machine. So the time machine creates some type of time for. We can't even do this, dude.
It's a ridiculous. Vortex. It's ridiculous. You have to accidentally pour shit on the hot tub, which is not a time machine. You don't accidentally make a time machine.
That Russian energy drink is what's in the flux.
Then why does it? And why doesn't the Russian energy drink just send them back another
that's
40, another 30 years
Doc
instead of going them back
using
to the future?
It was that fucking Russian energy drink.
It's Chernobyl.
Maybe that's
Chernobyl.
What time machine has the
plutonium?
What time machine? What hot tub has the temperature and the year? That's it.
Exactly.
Fucking ridiculous.
Okay.
I love it.
But now when they do go back in time and they get out of the hot tub and or when they realize that the hot tub is the time machine, Craig Robinson says it's a hot tub time machine. And it's the only time in the film, but he looks right at the camera.
Because, I mean, like, that's a joke.
Yeah, and he's like, just relax, you know, just don't take it with a grain of salt. You mean, everything in this film is just for fun.
But it's the whole plot still, like I said, it's not just for fun, because it's running around saying, we need the Chernobyl! We need to do. It's not just for fun. It becomes the plot on how they get their dumb thing that doesn't work to work.
Every movie has to have a plot.
Well, because fuck, it's what they're doing.
Yeah, if every movie has to, well, okay, here's the thing. If we're saying that the whole thing is for fun, and then nothing means anything, it was just, as you're watching it, do you laugh? Well, then... Then we have nothing left to talk
no,
about.
No, I
no time machine.
No, stop there.
Nothing
no.
matters.
We can talk about the jokes.
About the story.
He throws up on a squirrel.
About the jokes.
Why is that funny?
Because
you don't throw up a squirrel. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Otherwise, if we talk about the story.
I can go deeper. I can go deeper.
All right,
well, let's do it.
Well, I appreciate Brent.
I've been trying to, but you won't shut the fuck up.
You had to talk. I haven't been talking.
He has.
Oh, you haven't
been
talking?
Is this a fucking podcast? Talk!
I've been trying to. Okay, so basically, the underlying thing about this film is that, like I was saying, I think like an hour ago, the four...
People don't like it when you don't like their movies. That's what this podcast means.
The four main characters, they all, when we meet them, they all have, you know, they're in like the low parts of their lives. Rob Corddry's the lowest because he's sitting in, well, they say he's killing himself. I'm still not sure about that. I mean, because he's drunk, he comes home.
Well, he did say he was going
at the end.
He admitted it.
Yeah, he does say that. That's true. But so they want to go back to where they had a good time, basically, when they were young in the 80s. You know, they want to go back to this Kodiak. What is it? Kodiak Valley?
I think it's something like that. I know the. What was the name of the lodge? Like Swiss? Didn't it have like an S at the beginning?
Because there's that.
Kodiak. Or there's that bar or whatever called the Kodiak.
Right. But and the idea is that they're going to recapture something from their past, or it's going to, you know, it's that nostalgia. But instead of just like they go back and it's all shitified,
it's
and,
like a midlife crisis.
Kind of.
They're having a midlife crisis.
Yeah. And they think it's going to help Rob. I mean, it comes to the point where they're one of their good friends is going to kill himself. So they have to do something drastic. But when they get back there, they realize that basically the lodge is the same. Like it's fucked just like their lives are. You know, I mean, it's gone downhill. So they need this time machine. They need something. It's almost like it's fate that they got the Chernobyl. And I know it's ridiculous. I know it is. But it's what happens in the film. It's what makes time travel possible in the movie.
What makes time travel possible?
Even when they're back,
the flux capacity.
when they go back to the '80s, you know, there's a lot of talk about the butterfly effect and how, like, if a butterfly flaps its wings and somewhere, and the internet's not invented, I think. That's, like, one of the things they say. But the idea is, so they just want to keep everything the same way that it was that night, keep it all the same way. And somewhere along the lines, and they have scenes, I noticed that this time, like, each one has individual scenes where they realize this is my point that I tried to get to last time, so just real quick. I'm so close, Travis. So each one has their scene where they're like, you know what? I have to stray from what I did last time because, like, they have this epiphany, this moment where, in order to be happy, they have to change their future. And being back in time, they can change what happens to them in the future, and they can actually, you know, I mean, for Cusack, it's. Meeting girl. That girl, you know, changing.
But she's not the Great White Buffalo.
Jenny.
The Reality Bites girl is what changes his future.
But he didn't know that at the time.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, so for the sake of, like, okay, again, I guess I'm going back to the mechanics of, like, how you construct the screenplay and writing this thing, right? So you got a time machine. You can go back and you can change this stuff about you because you were at this very low point. All your lives are shit. You didn't become the people that you thought you were going to be. You're now in 1980s. Okay, you got to have the scenes of your culture shock where you're like, oh my God, we're back in the 1980s and look who we are, you know, back here. Why don't you go straight to this time? I can actually, like, keep the girl instead of breaking up with her. This time I can do well at the, you know.
Well, but she was going to break with him anyway.
I know. Well, regardless of that, but why don't the characters go to the idea of, like, I can change it.
But that was
because that's what you do.
That was the point.
Fucking time machine. Every time.
The point is.
Time machine, though. They didn't know they were doing it.
But once they realize that they're back on that night and they're like, we're back here and, like, this is going to happen tonight, why can't they just go and go, like, tonight? Instead of, like, I'm getting punched out by these guys, the four of us can take this one guy out.
They're having their cake and eating it, too.
Clark Duke wouldn't have been born.
But they're having their cake. But he didn't know he was the father. That's what I'm saying. They're trying to have their cake and eat it, too. They're trying to change it, but keep it the same.
Yeah, they're trying to keep it the same because he wasn't born yet.
But it's even more.
But he doesn't know that, though. So even though you as a viewer can say, they got to keep it the same because he wasn't born yet. We know that Rob Corddry only fucks John Cusack's sister, not because he knew that's what he had to do.
Because
he accidentally ends up doing it, which is the John Connor thing, right?
They saw Clark Duke's mom, and so I think that's when it sank in, and they're like.
Yeah, and Rob says that, you know, that what did you do that night? He's like, nothing happened. I hooked up with some girl.
But it's not until he disappears. That's when they gave you have to keep fucking her. In the same scene.
Wait, I just saw this movie, but what happens first? The Terminator discussion of how time works and the discussion of the butterfly effect or the appearance of the handyman who says, you can't change, everything in the machine's got to be just the way
they talk about the butterfly effect first. Just because, I mean, I think the Chevy Chase thing was, that to me, it feels like an added thing. That was like reshoot.
Chevy Chase, he was in Fletch.
Yeah, but I think after they wrote this movie, they're like, we need to add some shit to this movie.
let's not think that this was a really thought out movie.
This is a comedy movie. So they didn't shoot it. They didn't shoot it as if it was a well thought out. You can definitely tell the added scenes in this movie, they're like, Because I almost didn't even think Craig Robinson was going to go back for his little rock and roll show. I thought they were going to skip over it. Because I'm like, I don't get how things are supposed to be really important night. Yeah, but, it doesn't seem like these are important night.
He has to go to the rock show. John Cusack has to break up with the girl.
I don't need to listen to what Brett said. I heard what he said.
Whoa. Dude has to get in a fight with the other guy. Like, yeah. Those moments are the key moments that have to happen. In you know, for the story to like work at all,
well, and anytime
they have to face their demons.
What this movie does differently is in most time travel movies, they'll show you the day with very you know like the tent post moments in the day, but this one they talk about it and then they show you, you know, like these key events that I like happened.
How then Back to the Future
the movie.
Well, Back to the Future. Well, I mean, throughout the trilogy, like. Well, what's your question?
Well, I mean, we know that the clock tower gets struck by lightning, or we know that there was that they met at the enchantment under the sea dance before we see it.
It's more
the
like,
time we're seeing it is the time that it's affected.
I'm talking more like the time machine and like the idea that you keep going back and trying to change, you know, the events that happen.
But what they don't need to change. That's what I don't get about this movie. They don't need to change anything in the past. Yeah, I guess they could change things in the past because they're living in a shitty future, I guess. But it doesn't work out. They don't go back in time to change anything. They just accidentally go back in time. It's like time traveling, but time traveling as a movie trope. You only go back in time to change things on purpose. You don't
accidentally go back in time to change things, but then they're like, we can go ahead and change things,
and everything becomes perfect for everybody.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
Fucking Christ!
Well, no, because it's a shitty comedy movie that we know they're not paying attention to. So then, it's not bad to bring it up because they still made a movie. If they didn't want to think about it, why add it in the movie?
Well, they can think about it, but here's the solution.
It's shitty.
Here's the solution.
I'm gonna say it.
The solution. Well, the solution is that if you had the opportunity suddenly presented to you to change your past, would you?
But then they wouldn't even be in that place where they're at. But to me, that's a shitty point. I thought the point of time travel, especially if you're supposed to be like, well, we're here because we learned all these things. I mean, that's why Robert Zemeckis says,
Scott, Travis,
you shut up. This is why even Robert Zemeckis says Back to the Future 1 is a failed thing because because it's really just about a.
And this is news to Brent.
Yeah.
It's in the audio commentary.
Explain
this. Well, because all Marty wants is materialistic shit, a nice truck. Cool parents. He doesn't care about anything real. He doesn't, you know, he just wants materialistic surface level shit.
But isn't that
it is an 80s dream. It's the 80s. 80s is about, it's not about what you
average. If you take an average person, drop them back into time, that they would go like, hey, tonight's the night that this happened and I can change my future, make a difference.
I still wonder how did fucking 1986 John Cusack get the attention of Reality Bites fucking 1992-ish.
It's called coincidence.
It's not coincidence.
It's called serendipity.
It is called serendipity. She's like, I have 2 hours before my. I'm a journalist for Spin Magazine here to cover the Poison concert. I'm here for 2 hours. Let's fall in love and have a good night together. I'm leaving. Aren't we going to do something? Like, I don't believe that he would have gotten a hold of her and got married.
That's so the thing where you have to, like, see. There's a message there. It's seize the moment.
Exactly. Thank you, Colin.
Yeah,
thank
it you. Seize the moment because she's like, oh, if you go back in time and nothing matters, wouldn't you go out and do. Don't act like it's a great movie.
I'm not acting like it's a great movie.
You are. You're very disappointed at how we're unraveling.
I'm not acting. I just think you're just like.
I think it's a shitty.
You can't accept that it's because
I think it's a shitty comedy
movie.
Okay, guess what, guys? I don't like this movie. Does it matter to everybody? Is everybody want to convince me? I don't like this movie. It's a shitty comedy movie. So, I mean, I'm still talking about what the movie's about. I'm just saying.
The funny thing is that Jenny basically, I think, like, she may have just backed up your statement.
She said that, like, hours ago. She said that same thing. She said it's a shitty movie.
It is a that, shitty movie. But just it's not supposed to be a good movie. It's not supposed to be.
I don't believe in that. I don't fucking believe people are like, it's not supposed to be a good movie. I don't believe in that. That's bullshit. Actually, that's kinda, people set out to make a good movie.
Yeah, well, it's supposed to. It's supposed to be a fun movie and
it's a funny movie. But they're not
making a film.
They're not making high art. They're not looking for awards.
Well, the same way I like movies like Airplane, Cannibal the Musical, those type of really fringe, weird comedies, I don't fucking like these cheap ass comedies because I don't feel they're comedies. They're with funny actors. They might have a little funny writing, but they're not funny movies. The plots don't matter shit. Which, why watch a movie if the plot's not going to matter shit? Even in a comedy. Why? Why did it have to be about a time machine?
Travis is kind of swaying me here.
What? Well, fucking yeah. Why would you think of how much money they spent just on the special effects of the time machine when it doesn't matter?
Well, I mean, if you like to laugh and you find it funny, then that's one reason to watch the film. If you don't find it funny, then I can understand why you wouldn't like it. But I think it's funny.
If they got the money and they know a demographic's going to like it, they're going to fucking make it.
Yeah.
For sure, it's an easy sell. But do we need another easy sell, right? Isn't that why we say Hollywood sucks dick anyways? Right, because they only do easy sales?
So if we're saying that, like, again, I keep going, like, drama is the higher bar.
It's not.
Drama's the higher bar of cinema, right?
I would say so.
And below that, you have kind of, like, comedy and horror. And below that, you have porn, right? Porn appeals to a like
everyone
automatic response kind of thing. Like you're talking to the base animal human. And above that you have comedy and horror. Comedy is successful or fails based on did it make you laugh?
You've thought about this before.
And horror is good or bad were you scared or did you jump?
Yeah.
So somebody could grade a horror movie by how many times did I jump in the movie? Was it scary? And a good comedy then would be a movie that makes you laugh more than the other one or whatever. Like, what makes a better comedy? A quotient of laughs per minute, a combination of like, what? I mean, what?
That's why.
No, you don't have to interrupt. It's a conversation.
Keep going.
No, that was my question. I guess like,
what was it?
So, I mean, do you grade this as like how successful, if you were going to give a rating to this movie, like, because as a critic, right, you got to go 4 stars, 10 points, whatever the hell. So you go like, okay, do you recommend this to somebody based on, I give it 2 stars out of whatever the fuck. You have to come up with some kind of like standard to measure it against. And so what is that standard? Is it because it's a comedy? I laughed more at. Whatever the fuck. Young Frankenstein. I like laugh or Kingpin. I laughed, you know? Hot Tub Time Machine. I laughed, but I laughed a few more times. Does that mean Hot Tub Time Machine is a inferior film to Kingpin?
I suppose. I mean, it depends on your taste, though. Because somebody might not like Kingpin that likes Hot Tub Time Machine. So, I mean, it's all subjective. I think your scale is right, though. I think that comedy is...
The scale is right, but you got to think, like, with the Academy Awards, they don't have comedies. Don't do that. They don't have comedies. They don't have horror movies, really. Hardly ever.
Silence of the Lambs won the best.
No, it was a drama.
One in the past 30 years.
I said hardly ever.
Okay, true. I always feel robbed being a horror fan.
I know. Do they have comedies or horror films nominated for awards? No.
Only so that's special why effects people or something.
Just take shots in the dark and they make fucking movies like this. It's because they have the money. They have actors that agreed to do it. They're just having fun.
Yeah.
And it's, go with it. And if it becomes a classic, it does.
But if you don't, but I almost think that what it is, it's a lack of direction to me. Because if you don't have somebody that really has an idea on, like, why this is funny, that's how all it is a sitcom. Every sitcom is the same, right? You get your fucking, your living room set, you get your, you know, I mean, and then they just start fucking just vomiting out jokes. Fucking, this is funny, this is funny, this is funny, this is funny, this is funny. If it doesn't land, they don't give a fuck, they're going to have another. I feel this same way about these type of movies.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter if it's Hot Tub Time Machine, but I think in a way the jokes don't even matter. They're flipping them out there. They're fucking just throwing jokes out there. Well, something's going to land. Okay. Something's going
to
land.
So Back to the Future.
We'll have our unrated version just in case.
We could have an unrated Back to the Future, I suppose, if they shot it that way. But Back to the Future, okay, is a comedy, we're going to say, right?
I never understood that.
Back to the Future is a comedy?
It's funny.
It's situational comedy, though. Yeah. He's like, yeah. I'm in the car with my mother. She wants to fuck me. Yeah. This is funny.
I guess I'd classify it as comedy.
It's awkward.
Situational comedy.
Well, yeah. Awkward's not a...
It's a sci-fi.
Awkward.
Sci-fi.
Awkward. I would say situational comedy. Your mom wants to fuck you when you're supposed to.
Again, this is me sci-fi. Like sitting sci-fi over here like, categorizing everything, right?
Sci-fi.
But I would see. I'm thinking it's still more like Back to the Future is more like in the video store. Your kids remember?
Yeah.
At one point there was a thing. It was like a library where you could rent a movie. It was under comedy.
Yeah.
So that we're going to say, I think probably agreed amongst us all, that is a better movie than Hot Tub Time Machine.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, yes. But that absolutely. Has...
I wouldn't say it's as funny as Hot Tub Time Machine, no, but it's a better movie. It's a better movie, but it's not as funny. Because obviously when these guys are whipping out three jokes a fucking minute, it's going to be funnier.
Yeah. Oh, that's... yeah. But it's not... It's funny. It's not supposed to be. It's not called Hot Tub Time Machine. I mean, it's obviously Hot Tub Time Machine is for the jokes. Back to the Future is for the story. It's,
Yeah.
Agreement.
Jesus Christ.
Travis, we can agree on something.
All right, wrap-ups. No, wait.
Yeah, fuck it. Let's just do it.
But were you working on a point?
No, I think you made it.
Oh.
I think that was it.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm like, you know, four beers in.
Is there a plot?
You don't need to.
Is there a plot to this movie?
No, don't even start. We just came to an agreement.
I think I'll agree with. I think what Brent was trying to do is by pointing out that each character had a character arc.
Yes.
There is no plot to this movie. The plot is irrelevant. It's just something that you hang the character moments on. They have character arcs. The four guys have like a place where they.
So do you guys care about these characters?
No. No one
I does. Like the people who play them.
Yeah, I don't
think you care about the characters. I mean, any more than
there's a moment
on a sitcom.
There's a moment at the end when they're all jumping back in the time machine to go back to the present, and Rob Corddry says, you know, I'm not going. And he's like, you have to. I'm, you know, I'll stay. Cusack's talking to him, and Rob Corddry, he gets really honest, and it's the first time he admits it. He's like, I was trying to kill myself. And Cusack's like, I know, man. That's why we're here. Like that, at that moment, that's like he actually. That's the most honest moment in the film. That's actual writing, and it's just you know, it's 5 seconds maybe, but that I think is.
Oh wait, we're not saying that the best moment in a comedy is a dramatic moment.
No, but that's...
but it helps sometimes. like Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That I think works on a different level. Because of the end of it, because of how serious it gets with Cameron and his dad.
Like, those are the comedies I remember. It was funny, but it was still like, I mean, there was a dramatic story, but everybody, like Back to the Future.
Because that was about Ferris trying to show Cameron.
It was still a movie.
A fucking life.
This is how it is in the 2000s. I know. Like, what are you going to do? They make these shit movies.
We can at least call them shit. Just because they're the only comedies out there, I'm not going to be like, I like it because it was a comedy. Shit.
I like it because it makes me laugh. That's my wrap up. Early. No, I mean, it's... Yeah, we're looking at the cover of this Hot Tub Time Machine movie. There's a giant bear wearing a jean jacket. And it says unrated over all the actors.
That must be hysterical.
Private parts. But that's, I mean.
But like, you know, right?
But that pretty much, that sums it up. I mean, the idea is, hey, we made a movie with a bunch of jokes in it.
It's going to be in the $5 bin at Walmart.
And it has Time Machine, but please don't take us seriously.
Funny.
You guys don't have to convince me. I'm talking to the audience.
Brent said, that's the thing. You're not supposed to take it seriously, Travis.
I like my own comedies that I feel are good. I think this comedy sucks.
We're on a program
sucks.
Where we talk about movies. Good.
Yeah, yeah. Is nobody aware of this?
We have to take him seriously.
But what do we watch? I mean, we
well, like this. I didn't pick it.
You take Star Crash seriously? You know,
I still talk about it. You know, it's shitty.
I think it's the same thing.
Shitty about it.
It's the idea that hey, we can make a movie about Well, basically, we can tell a bunch of jokes in a movie, but we can like loosely wrap it in a time machine story, a time travel story, just because it does give some sort of loose plot. And it's, I know it's very shallow, but
no, it's very deep.
Wrap ups.
Well, that was a pretty good wrap. I don't know. I'm curious to see how Brent's going to top that on his actual wrap up. But before that, Igor, oh my God, Jesus Christ, I didn't even see you there.
Masters, the mail. I've got the mail. So many letters. Our followers are rising.
All right. Thank you, Igor. Jesus Christ. Okay. We've got some mail here from Dom Cree. He wrote to us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show. Dom says, okay, guys, here's a mini review request. You know, it'll be awesome. And okay, I admit that I haven't watched it yet. And that you guys will probably hate it. He's listened to a lot of our programs, I think. He's recommending we watch a movie called Kung Fury. Do you know anything about this?
Kung Fury. Oh, is that the... That's the trailer that just came out?
Yeah. I remember we watched the... There was like a music video with David Hasselhoff.
Yes.
It's another 80s tie-in to this night's program.
I'm sure it's hysterical.
Well, it's like this kind of ironic thing where these guys went to Kickstarter and made this thing, which looks like the worst or the best, depending on your point of view, 80s action movie. The best movie that Jean-Claude Van Damme never made.
So it's an actual feature?
I guess. I don't know. I have to...
Dom hasn't seen it, right?
Oh, and oh, he did reply to a thing here. He says... what the hell? Then Dom reviews it. He says, well, I was actually disappointed with the final product, but he played the hell out of the song by David Hasselhoff. There's a music video that accompanies it.
Yes.
Kung Fury, ladies and gentlemen. If you're familiar with this movie, you might be seeing it soon.
Possibly.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Thanks, Dom, for writing in. And then wrap ups. Who's in the chair? Jenny. Boom. The floor is yours.
Well,
she fucking loved it.
I didn't love it.
Oh, apparently.
I mean, it was funny. I mean, I didn't read into it that much. Jesus Christ.
She just hates my opinion of this movie. She doesn't care about this movie, just my opinion of it. Well, I don't know. It's directed.
It's
apparently directed at me.
It's a college dorm movie. It's a funny movie that, you know, you just watch with friends just to have a good laugh. That's all it is. You don't need to read into it. It's just a fucking funny movie. That's all.
See how this is directed at me? So why should I not comment? You guys are acting like I'm interrupting.
You got your wrap up.
Commenting at me.
You got your wrap up later. You can rebuttal.
You're next.
Like now? Is that what you're saying? Now?
Like now?
See, I'm not concerned about what you think of this movie. I'm just saying what I think of this movie. This whole thing, yeah, you've been very concerned about what I think of it. I think it's a shitty comedy.
Rebuttal.
There's a lot of comedies I love out there. Tons of comedies I love. So what if I think this is shit?
It's saying it's good. I'm not saying that. That is not what I said. That is absolutely not what I said. I said it is
you're
funny, and you laughed. It
you're
was funny.
My rap.
Jesus Christ.
That's what I'm saying. Anyway, this movie sucks.
I'm not saying it's incredible. That it's not.
You just don't like how much I don't like it for some reason. It's you're taking it very personal how much I don't like this movie.
You are.
See? It's not a wrap up. It's a conversation between someone that doesn't like how much I don't like this movie.
That's not.
I get it. If people want to like it because it's funny, it's funny. I just want a little bit more in my comedy movies. I don't want. If you're going to put a time machine in it, make the time machine worth something. Make it part of the story. Don't just make it something that they need just to get to the 80s. Fuck it. Just make it in the 80s then. Well, you know, I mean, it didn't need it. I think the comedy is just, it's subpar. They're just saying whatever, like, crazy shit that comes to their mind. It's like, this might get a laugh. This might get a laugh. Throw up on the squirrel. You know, or just anything. Anything to get a fucking laugh, this movie. This movie's desperate for your fucking attention. Yeah. Yeah, I don't fucking like it. This is the second and the last time I watch this movie. just not a good time machine movie. And that is what we're doing in 2015. It's time machine movies, right? These are time movies. It's not comedy movies for no point. It's time machine movies. So as a time machine movie, this sucks.
All right. So I guess, you know, you've listened to this podcast. You've heard me talk at a couple of points. So you're probably understanding where I come from when I say I'm just not like I don't get into kind of I share this with Travis, I guess. I just don't understand like most comedies like, you know, why it just seems like I like movies and then you go see comedies and they're like just kind of everybody's just standing around goofing on each other. And it's like, well, OK, this is maybe better suited for a comedy club. But now you can do it with special effects and all this other stuff. That's not to say that I didn't have fun watching this movie, only because it appealed directly to me. I'm from the era that this fucking movie is talking about. So, like, I think I owned every song that was on the soundtrack. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is this person and this is this group and whatever. I appreciated the stunt casting because, like, again, I saw all their fucking movies back in the 80s when they were in it. So this is a nostalgia trip. Directly aimed, I think, at either my generation or the one directly above mine. And so, like, okay, there's a bunch of references where they're catering to me. I get that there's, you know, the character arcs, but they're not, you know, well, I don't know. Again, character arcs, I think, are beside the point. They're just another thing that you hang on the clothesline of, hey, we got to make a movie. We got an idea. It's Hot Tub Time Machine. I think it's funny. So, if you're, you know, I mean, that basically sells itself. I mean, it's a comedy. You want a comedy? Boom, Hot Tub Time Machine. You could do worse.
Boom. That was a recommendation. You could do worse.
I mean, personally, I've seen it twice now. I mean, like, I didn't
personally. Hate yeah. It. What do you think personally? Do you hate it? Love it? Come on.
I don't hate it. You know, I mean, I don't hate it because it's just kind of like there.
Yeah.
It's just there and you watch it and you're like, okay. And then you kind of throw it away. It's like,
throw it away.
Like a greeting card.
That's well, the yeah, point.
But that is a point, you know, that's
the point I've been trying to make all night.
Yeah. But I'm on the other side of this. I'm on the other side of this where I hope that movies strive for something better than this, but I appreciate that there's movies for everything. There's fucking movies about dolphins and all this other shit. Yeah. I'm never going to watch them, but there is a market for them. So you got to make them. People like them, and you can do some better than others.
There are movies about dolphins. Multiple movies.
There you go. Fucking ridiculous. This is going to go down as the funniest goddamn. Like, people will listen to this, ironically.
You think so? Like,
these guys are talking about a comedy. Seriously.
Yeah. I think so.
But that is still serious.
Still a recommendation for Hot Tub Time.
Yeah, I think that Hot Tub, now that everyone has left, I think that Hot Tub Time Machine it's a movie that it is what the title says. It's a movie that has a hot tub in it and it's a time machine. And in between that's, you know, those are the bookends. There's a time machine in the beginning, and there's a time machine at the end. And in between, there's a bunch of jokes. But I find all those jokes funny. I mean, not all of them. No, maybe like 75%, 60% maybe. You know, it's not... Like, I reference Step Brothers, because basically that's a movie where just how do we get these two guys in a room for 2 hours? You know, like, how do we keep these guys in the same frame just telling jokes? And that's, you know, Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. Because they did it in Talladega Nights, but they had too much of a plot, so they just threw that out, and then you had Step Brothers. And I think that Hot Tub Time Machine is doing that, too. I think it's a lot of... There's moments where it feels very improvisational. And I think like they even do like multiple takes. Like, you know, you'll get a first crack at a joke. I think it's when he's talking about Craig Robinson's dick. There's like multiple takes within the film. And I don't know if it's just because it's unrated or if it's whatever. I don't know if it's in the theatrical cut, but they're having fun with it. I didn't take it seriously at any moment watching it. Even if it, like the first time I saw it, at the moment when Craig Robinson looks at the screen and goes, "It's a hot tub time machine." Like, at that moment, you know, I mean, it's just, it is for jokes. But that said, I think that I guess I don't agree with you, Colin, about the character arc in a story, because I think that it's something that the viewer can identify with within the film. And if you do identify with one of the characters, then it makes the movie that much better for watching it, you know. And I'm saying that for like blanketing all movies, not right. specifically this, not specifically this film, but overall, yeah, I don't throw it away. I mean, I've had this at least 2 or 3 years and I still watch it from time to time, and not just for the time machine, time travel aspect of it. 'Cause let's be honest, it's not a big part of the film. And so Travis, I agree with you with that. I know it's just a device, but I like it. I like the referencing the '80s. I like having Crispin Glover there. I like having John Cusack, all that stuff. You know, I mean, it feels like a film that would have, if it had been made in the, like, it feels like a self-referential film from the '80s. I know they weren't like self-aware in the '80s about what they were doing, but this feels like it almost feels like if it were the horror version of it, it would be Cabin in the Woods, right? I mean, it's like a movie about the '80s that's using all the '80s tropes, and it's you know, just based on. I mean, I don't even know how to explain it. It feels like it's too aware. It's too self-aware of itself. But I mean, I think that's what makes it funny. That's what makes it. I like it. I think that I would recommend it to people if they like to have fun. I mean, you'd have to be a pretty depressed person not to at least, you know, enjoy this film. At least find it a little bit Travis. Funny, right?
It's a shitty comedy. I mean, right, there's plenty of other good comedy. I'm sorry, it's a shitty comedy. I agree with Colin. I think even the character arcs is a trope. They're only doing character arcs because they know that's what happens in a movie. They're not writing them because they're interesting or blah, blah. They just know it's not a movie unless the characters are different people by the end of the movie. We did it! It's a movie!
They got one. They got one good one in there. I'll give them that.
The perfect ending? That's what this said. This said the Wayne's World perfect ending. Everybody got to have their perfect fucking. Even though they all went to this one weekend, they all got to have they came away with a perfect future.
But what's That's wrong with point. That?
It's stupid.
Why is it stupid?
Yeah.
Well, because number one, how did John Cusack, just by meeting a journalist from Spin Magazine for 3 hours, somehow that led to a great future with a marriage and like
that happens.
The '80s weren't all that awesome. They're not all the hot tub time machine. Like I said, I just don't cracks
buy into this. I don't fucking buy into this movie at all.
You don't have to.
Why?
Well, apparently I do.
No, you don't.
Yeah,
that's what I guess saying. So.
Oh, it's not all right if I don't like this movie. That's what's
don't
happening.
Have to buy into it.
I do though. Apparently, to you and Brent,
no,
you're obviously
no.
intelligently I inferior if you don't
exact
think
opposite.
You
exact
can't just
opposite.
Think. You can't just shut off your brain and watch this movie.
No,
it's
no,
it's
no,
even
no,
a dumb
no.
comedy. I'm sorry,
it just is. Oh my God. That's what it's supposed to be.
But it's even a dumber comedy. I mean, it's a dumb comedy.
It is. A dumb comedy.
I'm just not one of those people that sees a movie and I'm like, man, that was stupid. Nah, stupid. Which means I like it, but it was stupid.
That's what you've been saying all.
I don't like it.
Long.
It's just stupid. Not in a ironic way or
all.
It's just a stupid comedy.
I think we're just passing each other on like what we're talking about.
Yeah, we gotta agree to disagree on that one.
I think so.
Next week, it's my pick, and I'm going to bring The Exorcist 3 to the Saturday Night Freak Show, which none of these fuckers have seen it. The Exorcist 3, it's a goddamn classic. Don't ruin it. Next week on the Saturday Night Freak Show, and as always, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Castroller, I think whatever used to be Podbay. We're all over the place. Just Google us or hit us up on Facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show. For the time of your life. And until then, the basement going dark.
We have to get past people defending their movies.
Wait, give me one second.
I'm not defending anything.
Give me one second of silence. Just so I can.